Of course. Here is the translation of the provided transcript. I have marked the sections that seem unclear or are likely mistranscribed for your review. Mr. Trump, it's true that we are chanting death to America, but why are you canceling the visas of the Mueller's children? Mr. Trump, it's true that my nation is ignorant, stupid, idiotic, and delusional, but what is the regime's fault? We have a political problem. Someone's father is being destroyed in prison. What does that have to do with me, Mr. Trump? Why are you taking our visas? Mr. Trump, I'm begging you, give us back our visas. Don't cut off the visas of the officials' children. We have trained all these terrorists. Yes, we are an ignorant nation. The officials are not to blame. Mr. Trump, if we just submit this clip for the Oscar, by God, it's perfect for an Oscar, that film by Mr. Farhadi. Just yesterday we said the whole nation is stupid, ignorant, and idiotic, but all the judges are good, the officials are good, and so on. I promise you I can win the Oscar with just these 40 seconds. I don't even need to make a film. It's excellent. And then the nation is correctly congratulating each other. The money is in the dairy farm. Welcome to 70. Got it? Welcome to restart. Yes, welcome to the restart program. No film is ever sent out or to a festival from a dictatorial country without the permission of the Ministry of Information. This means that any film that goes out definitely has the stamp of the Ministry of Information on it. In dictatorial countries, this isn't sad at all. The saddest situation is when I make a film, say I'm Japanese and I make a film about Japan where the entire nation is ignorant, stupid, and delusional, and they send this film to international awards and the world confirms it saying, they're right, Mr. Hosseini is right. His nation, the people of Japan, are all idiotic, stupid, and ignorant, and they give him an award. This isn't painful either because the U.S. government has a complete problem with Hollywood, meaning the Hollywood types have a complete problem with Trump. This isn't sad either. What's sad is when people congratulate each other saying, hey, did you hear we won an Oscar? They ask, what was the film about? They say, the film was about how the entire nation is a bunch of cows. The entire nation is ignorant, and they gave us an award for it. They congratulate each other. This is very tragic because it means they still don't get it. In a dictatorial country, it's impossible for a film to go to the Oscars, to even enter a festival, because if there were freedom of expression, Hosseini wouldn't have been outside the country for 12 years. This is very simple. If you tell a four-legged animal, a person, an ignorant four-legged creature, that a film from a certain country has been submitted for awards with the permission of the Ministry of Information, it would understand. It gets it. Any idiot understands that in such a country, it must have the stamp of approval from the Ministry of Information. Meaning, even if North Korea releases a film, the Ministry of Information has definitely given it the okay. Well, this is very tragic, and it led us to this. We always explain the topics of the day in the first 4 or 5 minutes of Restart because of the number of listeners and quasi-subscribers. If you refer to quasi-subscriber 50, I have completely provided you with my interpretation of these two films from my dear friend who sent them to the Oscars. I wrote about both of them that the Islamic Republic is looking for a wave to discredit Trump, that is, to create tension in America's image. And Hollywood was an indicator that really, if a logical person watches this film, they would understand that neither its technique was right, nor was its subject matter beautiful at all. It was very boring and very bad. They gave this award so that those sentences would be read there by that lady who went to space. And that lady who went to space, since she can sue me here, I'll just give you a tiny hint. Go and see who her brother is, who her sister is, and who her mother and father are. With the money she used to go to space, if it were in our hands or the hands of the opposition, we would have overthrown the regime 8 times. It's very simple. Let's not be ignorant. It's very simple. Let's not play dumb. It's very simple. So in one word, whoever doesn't understand the sentence I'm about to say is an idiot. No film is sent to a festival without the permission of the Ministry of Information. So you are profiting from this. The Ministry of Information is this. Do you get it? Do you get it? You don't get it. You don't get it. And there's nothing I can do. And be sure that in 50 years, 60 years, your children will say that these restarters were 50 or 60 years ahead of their country, these few million restarters, unfortunately, knowingly or unknowingly, always helped the Ministry of Information. I've given a very small explanation, and let me just add one more little thing. For Hosseini, at a time when Charlie Chaplin couldn't make films, the greatest artist in history, a global director, writer, he wrote poetry, composed music. His music is still famous worldwide. Hollywood didn't give him an award. Hollywood had already lost back then. Hollywood should have died right then, and I buried it and threw red roses on it so I could be at peace that Hollywood is dead to the world. Truly a dark art. And another point that Mr. Fahadi needs to learn. Look, you were given an Oscar because of politics, so politics and art have been mixed. Therefore, we conclude that you must now defend political prisoners. Now, if you don't defend them, it raises a question. Why? Because it's due to politics, meaning politics and art are intertwined. Mystical discourse. But let's move on. The words of the friend are sweeter. We had started a poem from Iraqi, but one or two points in it needed to be said. Firstly, with a few of the opposition groups, they like restart and they know that the power of restart is very high. But remember, whenever we reach a union with any opposition, it will definitely be announced on restart because we have to keep talking, debating and arguing. We have problems with the legislature, we have problems with the judiciary. Now today, when I explain the program a bit, it happens to be related to this topic. Look, someone can write the constitution for the people because governments are not the guardians of the people. Someone who can write it is someone who has understood the realm of omnipotence. If they haven't understood it, which I want to explain today, then your whole premise is that they can't write the constitution. They can't even be close to an independent judge, meaning they absolutely must have passed this stage. Why? Because Sharia in a government, whether secular or religious, interferes immensely without you even realizing it. It has become the custom of society. Meaning the custom of society, for example, says you can hit a child at home until they are five. This has become a custom. A girl, if she turns 9, must find a husband. This has become a custom. Once it becomes the custom of society, the society then follows this Sharia. And every religion, when its Sharia emerges, we have these problems. For example, theft. A thief in Sharia has a clear definition. A thief is anyone who enters someone's house or takes someone's property. That's a thief. But in Sufism, in the law of Sufism, a thief is not defined this way at all. A thief refers to an official. You look at the number of ministers, add the number of parliament members, add those at the top, add the commanders of the army, the IRGC, and the religious army, it comes to 3,000 people. These 3,000 people are writing contracts to serve the country. A clause from Sufism is added below it saying, if you steal, we will cut off your hand. It has nothing to do with the people. You can't cut off the hand of the people. But in Sharia, they cut off the common person's hand. This means everything in Sharia is the opposite of Sufism. The whole world, contrary to Sufism, is laying down its legislative foundations. The laws of cutting off hands are only for officials. Right now in the country, the definition of a thief is established. A thief is someone who has wealth and is well off, has popularity, has government power, yet still steals. He goes and takes a commission on oil. This is a thief. To prove it to you, go search on Google and you'll see that it is also written in jurisprudence that during a famine, if you catch anyone who has stolen, you cannot punish them because the country is in crisis. What does that mean? It means someone earns 500,000 tomans in salary but has 2 million in expenses. If he can't make that 2 million, his daughter will go astray. His son will become an addict. His son will become a smuggler. This father is forced to sweat and toil to make that money any way he can, to keep his life going. If this person puts his hand in a restaurant's till, it is not considered theft in Sufism, though it is in Sharia. In Sufism, it's not like that at all. The situation is one of crisis, and for this reason, the country and the government are at fault for his financial problem, and it shows no mercy to the official. So in Sufism, the hands of officials will be cut off if they steal. So if tomorrow the government becomes one of Sufism, for example, 3,000 people will have to sign a paper. If they steal, they are all officials and commanders and so on. And you see, as I told you before, in the Sufism government of the future of Iran, no one will be after posts and positions because they will all flee. True, they will get good salaries, but they can't steal anymore. If you don't steal, where did you get the money to come and launch a multi-million dollar network to steal and benefit from? You spent $100 million in pounds to be able to swindle people out of $4 billion and bring in oil commissions. We all know this, we all know it. Now, theft in Sharia has several models, not just three. Look at what theft means, so you know. This itself is a very important point, and since I spent a quarter of an hour on this explanation, I mean, for example, a government has been in power in Iran for 40 years. Multiply 40 years by the hours, then by the seconds. For every second of oppression in that country, the time of the people has been stolen. You have to multiply this. In the next world, they calculate it this way. They ask, "Sir, what minister were you?" He says, "I was the Minister of Roads and Transportation." And they say, "Okay, you took the money this way?" He says, "Yes." They say, "All right," and they multiply the years he was in power by the hours, then by the seconds, which comes out to several million. They say, "Now, how many million seconds has it been?" Let's say 1 million seconds. They multiply this 1 million by 80 million people and say, 80 million people were idle, 80 million fought to get someone out of prison, and you wasted the people's time. Just this multiplication and division. It's done, and they say, "Okay, now with 12,000 prisoners out, the multiplication and division comes out to billions of dollars." That's why in the next realm, how does this individual pay the price for this? A dictatorial government is placed over him in the next world. He becomes a soldier there, and he must constantly serve, constantly fall, to pay his due. We have other kinds of theft too. A guy gets a call, gets up, goes to people's homes, opens the door, and raids the place, saying, "You are drinking alcohol." It's really interesting. He opens the door, enters people's private space, stands over them, and says, "You were drinking alcohol," or "You are dancing." In Sufism, you stand respectfully with your hands folded. You must knock on the person's door. If they invite you in, you go in. Otherwise, he comes out and you ask, "Do I have permission to come in?" He says no, and you say, "I'm leaving." Then he can go and file a complaint. He can say, "Where did you get a warrant to come to my house?" If a judge has issued a warrant for you to enter this person's house for alcohol, Sufism cuts off the judge's hand. It says this judge gets a negative point on his record. If an independent judge, appointed by a complete human, has 3 negative points, he is kicked out. It says you cannot pry into people's homes. People's homes are their sanctuary and honor. Maybe that man's wife wants to be naked there. Why did you go into his house? Sufism would destroy him. Let alone the guy who jumps into the house and says, "You have a satellite dish." Their hand is the same. Their hand gets cut off. Yes, he's right. If cutting off hands in Sufism is good, it's very good. What's good about it is that all officials' hands must be cut off. The judge, the one who issues the verdict, gets his hand cut off. I'm giving an example. This one is also stealing. He has gone and stolen the honor and private space of that family and is issuing a verdict. These things are very important. I want to say that the difference between Sharia and Sufi path is very vast. In Sufi path, only the official is held accountable. In Sharia, the people are cows. The people must suffer. The people must be killed. The people are in prison. In Sufi path, the official is imprisoned, the official is killed, the official is beaten, the official is insulted, the official is kicked out, the official's identity card is revoked. The difference is billions and billions, a distance of billions and billions. When we give a theory or come to speak, then for everyone. A very important point from Iraqis, the purity of wine and the delicacy of the goblet. The color of the goblet and the wine intermingled. It is all goblet, and yet seems not. Or perhaps it is wine. or it is wine and yet seems not. Poetry of Iraqi. It seems the goblet, like the air, took on the color of the sun. Both became one, light and darkness, day and night reconciled with each other. The order of the universe was established from that. You do not know if this is day or night, or which is the goblet and which is the wine. The flow of life in the universe, like wine and the goblet, you must understand continuously. Let me say here, it's like Rumi's famous poem about a desert lion. However, in Farsi, desert lion can also be terminologically understood as milk in a bowl, meaning you say a person drinks milk from the bowl and the desert lion eats the person. He then interprets these two lines. This is very beautiful. From the purity of the wine and the graces of the goblet, the color of the goblet and the wine intermingled everlastingly. Here, everlastingly means wine, meaning another name for wine was everlasting. The reason was that in the old days, for example, someone would drink alcohol, an alcohol that would be continuous or everlasting. Go into Sufism, go into mysticism, drink an alcohol that keeps you continuously drunk. This word everlasting or continuous in the poem is from 200 or 300 years ago, from the purity of the wine and the delights of the goblet. From the purity of the wine and the delights of the goblet, it is all goblet and yet seems not as if it is wine, or it is wine and yet seems not as if it is the goblet. He's explaining this very strange space, which is what? That everything is him. Whatever exists is certainly the soul, the beloved, the sweetheart, the heart, and the religion. He is explaining the perfect human in the universe in such a way as to convey the meaning of love by saying what is one of the arms of this perfect human, which is love. He says everything is this, everything is him. This is the book of the Muslims. What does Muslim mean? Muslim means those who know the perfect human. Those few who knew Christ were also Muslims. If we want to use the name Muslim, we are. It has been said, sir, you are a perfect human. I am not fooled by the past. It doesn't matter to me what happened 1400 years ago. What is your command now? What is your order? I don't care that they killed Zechariah or who Moses was. Mr. Jesus, you are my prophet now. You are my guardian now. You are my imam of the time now. Please proceed. A few people believed in Jesus, the rest did not. Not all the people of the world believed. A few people believed, and those few became Muslims. To explain the unveiling of the veil of the science of certainty, just as you assume night and day, he is talking about the flow of life in the universe. He is now explaining what the universe has been from ancient times until now. Pay attention. Some of the poems, precisely because they are scientific and talk about astronomy, we don't pay close attention to them. Iraqi, in these verses he is articulating, is saying, sir, I have directly seen that same universe. I am speaking to you, and because I am a prophet and have permission to speak, otherwise I cannot publish my collection of poems, just as two books from Aziz ad-Din Nasafi could not be published because he did not have permission. I do not speak without permission, says Iraqi, and that is why he is saying, these things that I have seen in the universe, I am explaining for you personally. He says about the flow of the universe, I always understand the goblet and the wine, but you should always see these things. And sometimes you see the goblet, sometimes you see the wine, and sometimes you see both together. If this explanation is not clear to you, then all horizons from beginning to end take the world-revealing goblet in hand, so you may perpetually see with the eye of the friend. You must either, Iraqi says, understand and accept my words, or you must go and get a world-revealing goblet, meaning you must see the universe. And he uses the universe as a metaphor for a goblet, calling it the world-revealing goblet. For all is he, whatever is certainty, the soul and the beloved, the heart and the heart ravisher, and faith. The sun of your face appeared. Iraqi is saying the world in its infancy became. He is explaining the universe completely from the beginning and says the face of this complete human emerged. The scholars in their infancy were seen. He borrowed a glance from the assembly of grace. The beauty of your face saw and became enthralled. Why is the face of the complete human so important? It's just two lips, two ears, two eyes, and a head. It has nothing that would make it so important, for its external appearance is not important at all. He says God breathed into a being called the complete human, named Adam. This Adam always exists. Adam existed 1,000,000 years ago, 60,000 years ago, and 7,726 years ago when the world was flooded, an earthquake of several Richters occurred, the water rose, everyone died, and humanity started again. According to Friends with Noah, Adam was Noah. He is explaining that this Adam always exists, even now, and Adam exists. This is his explanation. He says he breathed a little into him. Why? Because the complete human, as I explained last week, a drop of water has all the chemical and physical properties of water, but a warship does not. A warship in a laboratory is not water, but a drop of water that is there, the complete human in this ocean of He, Hua. This drop has all his characteristics. If you want to know God, if you want to know the ocean, you must see what this H2O is. That has H2O in it, and this also has H2O in it. It's just that this one is tiny. This one is a dioxide of that big H2O. A dewdrop fell upon the earth at dawn. It saw the face of the sun and became an ocean. His jealousy left no other in the world. This became the essence of all things. This is a very important sentence. The attribution of power and action to us was for the reason that we came to be. Meaning, for a moment, a reaction occurred in the sperm. It occurred in the human that Adam came into being, where these two, like the goblet and wine he was just explaining, mixed with the self, the two went into each other, meaning we came to be. We are the world-revealing goblet. I will read this verse again. The attribution of power and action to us was for the reason that we came to be. We are the world-revealing goblet through which all that has become apparent to us. Until now I had no news. Today it has become clear to me, meaning today I saw it, Iraqi says, that all is He and whatever is certainty. The soul, the beloved, the heart ravisher, the heart and the faith. So that we understand it later, we will review this verse again to see again what is in this verse. It is a very important point. He says that all is He, whatever is certainty, the soul and the beloved, meaning the soul is Him, the heart ravisher is Him, the heart is Him, the faith is Him. All the mystics that we have in a year, he is saying in one verse. Let me read a piece from Aziz ad-Din Nasafi. He says, regarding the explanation of the realm of sovereignty, spiritual, and the divine realm of power. O Dervish, you have understood sovereignty, spiritual, and the divine realm of power in a summary fashion. The three realms, according to Nasafi. Now I will explain it in detail, so that you may also understand it in detail. Its correctness among the scholars, sages, and sheikhs is one of the difficult sciences, and many scholars and sages are bewildered by this issue, and knowing this issue is of utmost importance for the spiritual seekers, because this issue is the principle and foundation of the work. If the foundation is laid firm and correct, the rest will be firm and correct, and if the foundation is flawed, whatever is built upon it will also be flawed. And furthermore, everything that exists, exists from these three levels. The level of the divine realm of power, the level of spiritual, and the level of sovereignty. And it is impossible for something to exist outside of these three levels. Therefore, if someone has not truly understood these levels, they have not truly understood anything at all. He explains very clearly. He says the universe has three parts, the realm of sovereignty, the spiritual realm, and the divine realm of power. He explained that whatever is in the higher realm must also be in the lower one. Pay attention, no ruler, scholar, or sage says this. No mullah says it, no priest says it, no rabbi says it. The rabbi, the priest, the mullah, the Zoroastrian priest, the leader, the gentleman, the scholars, the sages do not understand. I'm not talking about you and me. Don't include yourself. We've visited 4 shrines. No, he hasn't included you and me at all. They understand nothing. He says in the realm of sovereignty, that the realm of sovereignty means the realm of sensory perception. The spiritual realm is a realm that is transcendent. They also call it the realm of intellect, meaning its realm is unseen. The explanation he gives to explain this is like this. The sun is produced, it has a magnetic field, meaning it has intermolecular forces. When these exist, it means the realm is the realm of sovereignty. Nasafi is saying this entirely. He says the whole universe is sovereignty. Why? Because the earth revolves around the sun, and the sun itself revolves, so the Milky Way galaxy is sovereignty, the solar system is sovereignty, Andromeda is sovereignty, neutron stars are sovereignty, dark energy is sovereignty. Wherever force exists, it is sovereignty. It can be seen, it can be touched. Now, I don't have a shuttle to go to Pluto, I don't have a shuttle to go to some other planet, but if I could get there, I could touch it. They say a man landed on a planet and left. So whatever they are explaining, it's not important for me to elaborate, because the topic of love and the universe is very important. It might take 1 or 2 programs, but it's beautiful for us to know. So Aziz Nasafi says, remember that there is something called the universe. Forget about the Big Bang. Forget about before the Big Bang. From the Big Bang onward, there is a universe. It has parallel universes. Forget it. That was for you. It has something else. Forget it. The 14th dimension. Some say the 70th dimension. Others say the 70th dimension. We were in 3 dimensions. We are so arrogant. The 4th dimension has come and we still haven't understood it. I say we were in 3 dimensions. I'm not lying, because Albert Einstein came and said some things and we still haven't understood. The 4th dimension isn't even over for you to say, I have understood time. Peace be upon you and God's mercy and blessings. That's where Sufism says 1 hour of restart is equal to 1,000. I don't know Arabic. You understand it, so understand it. Year sana means year. Don't hit the ground. What's this in the air? God is great. You have to go to church. I should bang your head. Is 1 hour of restart equal to 1,000 years of worship? You don't get this. If you get it, drop whatever you're doing and just listen to restart. You don't get it. Hey, become an honest broker. If you've seen God as an honest broker, for your mother's sake, call 202 Azadeh. I'll come there quickly to see what he looks like. We are constantly explaining the boundary between he and God. According to you, a Muslim is a complete human. How was he born from this God? What kind of love play was it that the whole universe is madly in love with him? We are explaining all of this. Aziz Nasafi says, hey Hosseini, he says, dude, don't take yourself so seriously. Before the Big Bang, after the Big Bang, anything that has sensation in the universe is called the realm of sovereignty. Mr. Hosseini, you keep taking us into the universe and we don't understand. Come into my body and let's see. He kept saying the universe is like a complete human. Tell me what's in your body. Look at the cells and electrons, and my body, my hands, my ears, my eyes, my feet, my veins, my sinews, my cornea, my retina, my iris. Go into your aorta, go into the islets of Langerhans, and wherever you go, go down, go up, it makes no difference. Go into your teeth, go into the lateral and central, and I don't know, the 1st and 2nd premolars, it makes no difference. Wherever you turn, its name is sovereignty. This means your body, this sovereignty, will go, God willing, into the soil. The spirit goes, but because sovereignty belongs to sovereignty, it remains. So why do you die? You die, we don't die. I don't mean me, Iraqi says. He says, we who are restarters do not die, because we must give permission to die. When Azrael comes, Azrael is just a virus. He comes to us and asks, is it permissible for me to die? I say, no, I don't want to die. Then he takes you to that dream we saw, all the dreams people in the world have seen. He says, come see that place. How beautiful is it? How much like a forest? How good is it? This is your mother, your father who has died. Look how good it is. They say, come, and it's true. They trick you, and we go. You have to trick him to go. This means the difference between me and you is the difference between me, I say, Rumi. No, me, Hosseini. The difference between me, Rumi, with Hosseini, and you is that Rumi, without permission, it would be wrong for anyone to enter his building to take his life. Little one, Azrael is a nobody. Does he dare to enter the thought system of a believer, which according to you is nonsense, rubbish? According to us, a believer is one who knows the complete human. He says he can enter. His entire structure is sending Azrael to enter. Enter and trick him. Meaning the complete human is not necessary. Your death comes upon you and it becomes... He says, it's beautiful, man. Come on over to the other side. The other side is good too, it's fun. Come on, for God's sake, come, he tricks you like this. Come, like a child you want to get to walk. Come. And he finally comes. You die. The rest of the people, their head hits a rock, they die. A truck's tire runs over them, they die. They fall from above, they die. Why? Because they haven't understood restart. Why? Because he doesn't know that. When I look at the sea, I see you in the sea. When I look at the desert, I see you in the desert. Wherever I look, mountain, river, and plain, I see signs of your graceful stature. He didn't understand, so he dies, he kills himself. So what is he saying? He says a realm exists. Aziz Nasafi says Iraqi is also explaining. He wants to, he is explaining. Iraqi's poem is correct then. He says a realm existed which, through love, a beauty named He, Hua, was born. It came into existence again in the name of man. The angels all cursed. Why? Because as soon as they saw this man, he cursed. Rude! What is this filth? What is this? They looked at his appearance. They are right. They didn't know what was inside. They didn't know this was the mirror of beauty and is beautiful, and they got involved. Why? Because whatever God creates, he loves. I mean, I think this. We haven't yet become the spiritual realm. We are still explaining. So what happened? So everything in the universe, the scientists, God willing, after death, because during death it cannot be discovered so easily, anything that is related to existence and has intermolecular force, anything that has it, anything that revolves, anything that goes anywhere, anything that has motion simply, anything that has motion has a kind of electronic space and forces. This becomes the realm of sovereignty. In your body, so all of my body that goes into the soil is the realm of sovereignty. What is the spiritual realm, Sayyid? The spiritual realm means intellect. The highest angel in the history of religions who sat and wrote or stole materials said that for you to understand the spiritual realm, a realm, the highest angel, his name is Gabriel. All the mystics in Sufism and poetry have used Gabriel as an example of the prophet of intellect. They say he is the prophet of intellect. This is the essence of intellect. Can I come and kiss your intellect? No, sir, it's not possible at all. Can I touch your intellect? No, sir, you can't. Can we touch what comes out of your intellect? Yes, whatever comes out of the intellect becomes sovereignty. I am giving an example so we understand. Aziz Nasafi says sovereignty, spiritual, and the divine realm of power are all separate. If you separate them, then goodbye. You've understood nothing. I am a scientist. I invented a chair. The chair is sovereignty. Where did it come from? From spirituality. What is spiritual? My intellect. Meaning my intellect thought of a chair, your intellect, you are sitting on it. Meaning it has transformed spiritual into the lower world, its low, worthless, cheap of this world. Dunya means lowly, filthy, dirty. Meaning it has transformed it so you can sit on it. For example, in the spiritual realm, in this, the realm of sovereignty, who exists? You have four or five names. About 11 or 12 have come in the Torah and the Gospel and so on. According to you, but you don't know how many angels exist in the universe, who they are, where they are, what their job is. This transcendent force has a beauty. This means so let's review again. So the Earth's rotation around a transcendent being must be responsible for this rotation of the Earth around the Sun. This spiritual up there has thought of it exactly like this, the chair. An angel up there has had a thought, and it has turned into the rotation of the earth around the sun. meaning it has transformed the chair so that we can then breathe. That's why Azizuddin Nasafi says this world, that world, this world is entirely up in the air. It's virtual. It doesn't exist. After you close your eyes, open them, you've died. You open them and see there is absolutely nothing, which was also hinted at in the movie The Matrix. Open the eye of the heart so you may see the soul. That which is unseen, you will see. You understand that in the spiritual realm, the God of that realm is intellect, meaning intellect must make you understand that you should not imitate. Who do you imitate? Like Gabriel, who does he imitate? Someone who is a complete human, has credentials, and has come from God. Only him can be imitated, not just any person, not any event or incident, not any wanderer. This becomes spiritual. I want to finish this next week. But the divine realm of power has no example on earth. This is very interesting and difficult. One or two of the mystics. One of them is this Aziz ad-Din Nasafi. I don't know how they had permission to publish these things. We don't know. One or two from the people of Sufism and Irfan gave a small example. We didn't understand. They said that the realm of omnipotence is the seed, the sperm, meaning their explanation was the sperm from which a child is produced, that moment. Ladies and gentlemen who are talking about abortion and these things, this is a very important question that some of you, for example, say in the future we have it, we don't have it, how? It has absolutely nothing to do with that government, nothing to do with the space of Sufism and Irfan. A government means you see the mark that is inside you is also outside. He shakes your, the divine realm of power. Nothing happens to your, if we ask, we will not say, we will not. That is in the realm of sovereignty, whatever remains. Not that it's good or bad, I have nothing to do with that. This is equal to Sharia, it has nothing to do with us. So what happened? When the complete human sees you, what does he shake? Sayyid, the spiritual? No, as high as your spiritual is, he has nothing to do with it. The complete human has nothing to do with your sovereignty, because sovereignty is within him. The complete human gives you something in the divine realm of power. You start it. Then the divine realm of power is that which the complete human secretly gives you. He starts to water that, the divine realm of power within you, and make the tree grow. This seed of your, the divine realm of power, changes with his change. Now look at Hosseini's life, if he were to die for this. Look, now millions of priests put you in water and say, bravo, you've become a Christian. At that time, Mr. John the Baptist takes Jesus by the collar and, with Zachariah's permission, shakes the divine realm of power of Jesus, and Jesus becomes Jesus. What do we say? We say anyone who baptizes besides John, anyone who baptizes besides Zechariah, is all for naught. Why? Because one must have information within that, the divine realm of power. Now you go to that mullah, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, perform our marriage ceremony. But one of the officials has had 15 marriages, 4 of them are in divorce. Everyone is getting divorced. Why? Because he neither understands the marriage contract, nor does he know it's complex. He doesn't know. Let me entrust you to the shaker of your, the divine realm of power. I entrust you to someone for whom it doesn't matter. It's not important what your sovereignty is. Even if you are a king, it's not important to him. He himself is the God of sultans. He himself is the King of Kings. I entrust you to someone that when you see him, and I hope this happens for me and you and the entire universe, you see him, he shakes you. He shakes you, the divine realm of power, and has nothing to do with your sovereignty and spiritual, because sovereignty and spiritual themselves are shaken after the shaking of the divine realm of power. Farewell.